Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How hard is it for you to take someone back who has hurt you very severely? If you're like most people, it's not one of the easiest things to do in life, and that certainly is an understatement. Sometimes, in fact, it seems nearly impossible to do. Can you love someone and forgive someone who has taken advantage of you and, on top of it all, has run out, has abandoned you, and whatever relationship you have had with them in the past, can you welcome that kind of person back into your life? In our reading today from God's Word, we read about a wealthy businessman by the name of Philemon who had just that kind of appeal made to him by the Apostle Paul. It's a very unusual story from one of the most unusual books in the Bible. It's one of the only private letters of the Apostle Paul. And in fact, the only letter that was not written to one of his mentees, a fellow younger pastor and missionary, Timothy and Titus, to whom Paul also wrote individual letters. This is the only letter from the Apostle just to a lay member, a regular member of the church. It's the only place where Paul begins the letter, also by addressing the recipient just on a friend-to-friend basis and not highlighting his status, Paul's status as an apostle, his credentials that he has the authority to speak because he has been given these words by the Holy Spirit and specifically directly called to this ministry by Jesus. No, Paul writes as a friend, a Christian brother, to his fellow believer and friend, Philemon, on behalf of Onesimus. As we read, Onesimus had been a slave of Philemon, but he had abandoned his post and had run away to Rome, but it was there that Onesimus met Paul, who was in prison at the time. It was there that Onesimus heard the good news about Jesus the Savior, about forgiveness and eternal life that God promises through Jesus from Paul, and he became, by God's grace, a believer in Jesus as his Savior. And Paul felt that it was proper for Onesimus to make amends, to repair the damage that he had caused by abandoning his post, and to go back to his master and ask for forgiveness. And so Paul sent Philemon, Onesimus with this letter to Philemon. And in it, he appeals to Philemon for love's sake to forgive Onesimus and welcome him back. Paul knew that if Philemon were ever to take Onesimus back, that he would first have to forgive him. It would have to be an act of love, an act of the will. And so Paul points out to Philemon how love brings joy to people's hearts. He very tactfully reminds Philemon how Philemon's own love has brought just that kind of result to all kinds of people, to many believers in Jesus in Colossae and in Western Central Asia Minor, and to people in all the surrounding Christian churches who had heard of Philemon's Christian love and generosity. Philemon was so committed to living his life for God out of thankful love to God's forgiveness and salvation through Jesus that people saw and deeply felt God's love through Philemon. Philemon's love and faith had a great effect and impact on other people. And they even met in Philemon's house for worship services to encourage each other and build each other up in their faith in Jesus through the Word of God. And it was all this joy that he had brought to other people that Paul reminds Philemon of. That Paul, too, had learned about how his friend Philemon was touching the lives of people with the love of God that was reflected in his life. And so Paul says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and of all the saints. I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Paul wants Philemon to see how valuable and how powerful an instrument his love has been towards others. It was stimulating and encouraging people to the point that they were being built up in their faith through his love. When people heard Philemon and were together with him, for them it was like a breath of fresh air. Paul wants Philemon to see what joy his love has brought to Paul himself and to others, so that Philemon will be willing to share that same thing, the same blessings of his love reflected from God, now with his runaway slave, Onesimus. But why did Philemon's love do all that? Lots of people try to show love to their fellow man, but it doesn't always create all this joy that the Apostle Paul is talking about. The love that Philemon had wasn't just your ordinary kind of love. It wasn't just the kind of love that perhaps seeks to gain some recognition after doing some kind of charitable work. No, it was an unconditional love. It was the agape love that God has for us. It's the kind of love that God gives to undeserving sinners like you and me. And when people know God and when they know what God has done for them through Jesus our Savior, they know and experience that unconditional agape love of God. It's that love that frees us from sin and from the punishment that we deserve for our sins, all because Jesus gave his life in our place. He suffered the punishment for our sins that we deserve. When we know that love from God that we don't deserve, that forgives our sins, then we are able to give that same self-sacrificing, unconditional, Christ-like love to other people. And that's the most beautiful part about this God-given love. It's always connected to forgiveness, God's forgiveness. Wherever God's love is proclaimed, there is the assurance of freedom from guilt. And that brings true joy into the hearts of people. Just notice the joy that it brings into a Christian home when God's forgiving love is brought to a family member who is in need or who might have gone astray, but in repentance by God's grace has returned. There's joy because there's a relief from all the past guilt and shame and broken relationships. There's joy because the whole family shares in that forgiving love of God and rejoices in God's forgiveness and the restoration of relationships that God's forgiveness makes possible. There's joy because those bonds of unity have been restored. Philemon knew that love. He experienced that love. He shared that love. And so now Paul urges him to share that same love with Onesimus. For love's sake, forgive the man. Because your love has brought joy to so many other people, and because you know God's love for you, give that same love to Onesimus. Forgive him. Yes, what Onesimus did was wrong. He sinned against God and against his master by robbing from him, by harming his business and his means of income. But when he heard the word of God from Paul, he saw his sin. He was sorry, and in repentance, he had come to faith in Jesus as his Savior. He knew, he experienced God's forgiveness and the change of heart and life that God's forgiveness through Jesus brings. And so Philemon then needed to speak those words of forgiveness to Onesimus as well. You and I, in some ways, are a lot like Philemon. We also know God's love. We have experienced it. We cherish it. We know that we should forgive others for love's sake, the fellow Christian who comes to us in repentance and faith. We know that for love's sake, because of Jesus' love for us, we should forgive the person who has sinned against us. But even though we know that, that doesn't make it easy. In fact, most Christians will say that the two most difficult things to do in life are to love, to truly love as God loves us, and closely connected to it, to forgive. And yeah, of course, that might be easy to do at times. It's easy to love people who like us and who do nice things for us, but it's not so easy to love the person who hurts us.
And what do we do in those cases?
What do we do, for example, in a similar case to Philemon and Onesimus, when perhaps a son or daughter or other family member takes something that doesn't belong to them, that belongs to us? What do we do if a child runs away from home? What do we do if they've gotten into trouble and then they want to come back, if they've damaged a relationship and then want that relationship to be restored? We can do the same thing that Paul asks Philemon to do. For love's sake, forgive. Even when we think that we couldn't possibly because it's so hard, because we've been so deeply hurt, we can remember the forgiveness, and we can bring that forgiveness from God, from Jesus our Savior, to that repentant person, because we remember the forgiveness that Jesus has given to us for all of our sins. That is the power of forgiveness that God has given to us, by recalling how God has first loved us through Jesus our Savior, in spite of our many sins against Him, our daily sins against Him, by holding on to His promise that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. He transforms our hearts. He gives us the desire to forgive when we didn't have it before. He gives us the power to forgive, the love to forgive. Will you use that power and, for love's sake, forgive? Forgive the Onesimus in your life? And then, along with forgiving the person who has hurt us, the Bible also tells us, as Paul tells Philemon, to receive that person back. Paul told Philemon, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him, Onesimus, as you would receive me." Paul said that he would gladly have Onesimus stay with him and continue to help him in his time of difficulty and imprisonment, that Onesimus had become like a dear son to him, but he felt that it was right and proper for Onesimus, first at least, to go back to Philemon and to repair that relationship, to ask for forgiveness in person, and to receive that blessing of forgiveness. And so now the question is, would Philemon let Onesimus come back? Would he welcome him back? And the way Paul sees it, for Philemon, there should not be any doubt about it. Paul testifies about Onesimus that he had become a very useful person. He was no longer opposed to God and God's will in unbelief. Now he was right in line and heart and in mind with God's will. And for that reason, he was a dear son to the Apostle Paul, a dear brother in faith. And so Paul writes in verse 11, "Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me." He had changed. Instead of a liability, he would now be an asset to Philemon and his business. But that wasn't the primary reason for taking him back. The important thing was that his past was gone, and in another more important way, this man was no longer an unbeliever. And that's what Paul is talking especially about when he says that Onesimus is no longer regarded as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He had come to faith in Jesus as his Savior. And that meant that he was no longer a slave, no longer a prisoner to sin and to guilt and to death. No, the chains of the power of the devil over him had been broken. And for the first time in his life, Onesimus knew what it was like to be truly free. And that means that Philemon and Onesimus and Paul were all of the same class of people, God's children. They were now brothers in the faith. So Paul uses the term beloved brother, showing that because of their common faith in Jesus, any other divisions, any class divisions between them were broken down and destroyed. Because Christ had changed Onesimus' heart and life, Paul tells Philemon to receive him back just as you would receive me, the dear teacher and preacher of God's word who brought to you the precious news of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. Yes, forgive him, but even welcome him back into your house, forgetting what had gone before, the broken relationship, the damage that he has caused you. Treat him now with love and honor and respect. Treat him as you would treat me. And Paul even indicates that if there are any outstanding financial debts that are a result of this unfortunate situation, that Paul himself would personally repay those debts. Much more important, though, Paul says, forgive him and receive him back, because God has forgiven him and you the greatest debt of all, your sin. So welcome Onesimus back. Now, dear brother and sister in faith, you might not have an Onesimus in your life, just like the situation that Philemon had in his life, but there are Onesimuses in your life too, in various kinds of situations. So what will you do? How will you treat them? Will you also, by God's grace, strive to follow Paul's example and his urging? For love's sake, forgive him. Forgive her. Notice and enjoy the joy that that forgiveness brings. Forgive him, forgive her, because Jesus gave everything, his own life, in order to forgive you. See how God's great love for you in Jesus makes everything different, and how it makes all the difference in life and in our relationships. Then you will receive him back. Then you will even be able to say, welcome back, Onesimus. Welcome back, dear brother, dear sister, son, daughter, parent, friend. Everything is now new in Jesus. Amen.